From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, rain clouds left behind by Typhoon Babi reach the Korean Peninsula, bringing heavy rain and strong winds. The government raises the country's growth outlook for this year from 2% to 3% based on an unprecedented AI-driven boom in semiconductor shipments. And U.S. President Donald Trump says his military will serve as guardian of the Strait of Hormuz in charge of Kyiv while reinstating its blockade of Iranian ports. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Chan. Rain clouds left behind by Typhoon Babi reached the Korean Peninsula on Tuesday evening, bringing heavy rain and strong winds. With torrential rain forecasts, especially in central areas, people should prepare for storm-related damage. Pei Chuyun has the story.
Although Typhoon Babi has weakened into a tropical depression, rain clouds associated with the storm have reached the Korean Peninsula. According to the Korea Meteorological Administration, the rain that began falling on western regions Tuesday evening will gradually spread across the country. Rainfall will peak between Tuesday evening and early Wednesday with up to 50 millimeters of rain per hour forecast in northern Gyeonggi Province and western parts of Gangwon Province. Seoul and other central regions as well as North Jeolla Province could see up to 30 millimeters per hour. With heavy rain expected to fall at night, people should prepare for potential damage from landslides, flooding, and structural collapses. Through Wednesday, northern Gyeonggi Province could receive more than 120 millimeters of rain, western parts of Gangwon Province over 100 millimeters, and Seoul and other parts of the capital region between 30 and 100 millimeters. As heavy rain is also forecast in North Korea, the Imjin and Hantan rivers are expected to rise, so nearby residents should stay away from riverside areas and avoid camping. Strong winds exceeding 25 meters per second are expected to batter the mountainous areas of Jeju, with speeds reaching approximately 20 meters per second in most other regions. Measures should be taken to secure signs and other flimsy structures to prevent them from flying away. Pejun, KBS World Radio News.
The government has raised the country's growth outlook for this year from 2% to 3%. The Ministry of Finance and Economy said Tuesday that the adjustment to the real gross domestic product growth rate reflects an unprecedented artificial intelligence-driven boom in semiconductor shipments. The nominal growth rate, which does not account for inflation, is projected to reach a 30-year high of 12.3%. Building on this momentum, the government intends to raise the nation's potential growth rate to 3% by 2030 from its current level of less than 2%. The ministry said it will accelerate its three recently announced mega projects, which include semiconductors and AI, and designate new initiatives related to rechargeable batteries and sensors as part of its strategy to achieve a super innovation economy. President Lee Jae-myung said that the government should accelerate economic transformation in the second half of the year and make 2026 the beginning of a push to raise South Korea's potential growth rate to 3%. Speaking at a cabinet meeting at the top office on Tuesday, he outlined the government's longer-term economic goals and said the nation should aim to become one of the world's top four trading nations and increase its per capita gross national income to $50,000. Regarding his trade ambitions, he said South Korea's exports had reached nearly $500 billion in the first half of the year, driven by strong semiconductor performance, and that other exports had increased 16% from a year earlier, making the goal of becoming a top four power no longer an unattainable goal. He said strong export performance and increased facility investment have led to forecasts that South Korea's real economic growth rate could reach 3% this year. He advocated a gradual increase in that potential growth rate by stabilizing inflation in the housing market and fostering new growth engines. He also urged central leadership, regional authorities, and businesses to work together to accelerate the government's three mega projects and emphasize the need for reforms in the public sector and labor market. The government has launched a three-day series of real estate policy debates, bringing together experts, officials, and the public to discuss major issues such as housing supply, financial regulations, and taxation. The Ministry of Land, Infrastructure, and Transport held the first debate on Tuesday. A discussion led by the Financial Services Commission will follow on Wednesday, followed by a Ministry of Finance and Economy event on Thursday. President Lee Jae-myung will then chair a public debate dubbed the National Grand Debate on Real Estate Policy on Thursday of next week, covering the full range of related policies and the opinions that will have been presented. This week's forums are being held to compile public feedback before the government finalizes its real estate tax reform initiative, which is expected to be announced between late July and early August. In a bid to contain soaring housing prices in Seoul and other regions, the government is now considering the contentious option of raising real estate property taxes.
You are now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
U.S. President Donald Trump says his military will serve as guardian of the Strait of Hormuz and charge a fee equivalent to 20% of the value of all cargo that transits the waterway in exchange for the security. Trump also said the United States would reinstate its blockade of Iranian ports. Iran maintains that it will not allow the U.S. to interfere with its management of the strait. Rosenbach has wrapped up the latest.
Hitting them very heavy tonight, as you know.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office on Monday, U.S. President Donald Trump said the U.S. military was striking Iranian military assets that threatened shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. military has carried out three consecutive nights of airstrikes against Iran. Washington deployed sea drones in combat for the first time in its Sunday strike, which targeted Iran's submarine and ship maintenance facilities.
We're controlling the straits. We're putting the blockade back. And it's a blockade not for anybody but Iran. In other words, anybody doing business with Iran can't go through. Everyone else will be able to go through.
Trump, in a Truth Social post, also suggested that the U.S. would be paid to guard ships in the Strait of Hormuz at a rate equivalent to 20% of the cargo's value. The Iranian military says it will not allow the U.S. to interfere with its management of the Strait of Hormuz. Amid the escalating tensions, the United Arab Emirates said Tuesday that Iranian cruise missiles had struck two Emirati commercial oil tankers in the southern lane of the Strait of Hormuz, killing one crew member and injuring eight others. 24 of the 26 South Korean ships that were in the strait last month had managed to exit by early July. Two remain in the waterway. According to the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Resources, South Korean refiners have secured crude oil supplies for July and August that exceed last year's import volume. The amount contracted for September totals 76% of the amount imported in the same month of last year. Rosine Park, KBS World Radio News.
The world's largest cylindrical computed tomography device has been introduced in South Korea to investigate the country's cultural heritage. The National Museum of Korea on Tuesday announced that it had installed the cylindrical CT scanner to non-invasively inspect and map the internal structures of large statues and other artifacts. The specialized CT scanner can also create highly detailed 3D models. When the device is in use, an X-ray ring rotates around the stationary artifact in a 220-degree arc on rails parallel to its length. In this way, it can accurately photograph large objects up to 1.1 meters in diameter and 3 meters in length that were difficult to investigate with previous equipment. This marks the first time such a cylindrical CT scanner has been deployed in South Korea. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Chang.